is a very famous thing of Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayh. Awwalul ilm al-istima. Awwalul ilm al-insat. Fastami'u lahu wa ansitu. Istima, then insat. Third, amal, insat, istima, insat, hifz. Amal and then nashr. Istima, insat. Amal, sorry, hifz, amal and then nashr. So the five levels of ilm. Five hukuk of ilm. Istima, insat, hifz, amal and nashr. First thing that is required is istima. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive wahi, then he would be totally focused towards the wahi without any disturbance, no disruption, absolutely focused. Man has some limitations and man has to accept that he's got that limitation. النَّفْسُ لَا يَتَوَجَّهُ إِلَى شَيْئَيْنِ فِي آنٍ وَاحِدٍ. In one single moment, you can't be paying attention at two things equally. If a woman is making the tarkari also one side, and she's looking at the bread or the roti also the other side, at one and the same time, then one of the two is going to get spoiled. Either the roti is going to get burnt, or the tarkari is going to get spoiled. So she'll have to take things gradually, one thing at a time. When we try and jam too many things in one, then most of the time there is some problem. Like nowadays, you see that one person wants to take on 3-4 jobs, right? He's doing one job here, one job elsewhere, and one job in the third place. So one of the jobs he's going to be negligent in. Person was showing some of the workers that are gone to America or London, they take on 2 jobs, day shift and night shift. Day shift perhaps is working in a petrol pump. Night shift is working as a guard. So he comes there and he's out for the count, sleeping away. So one of the two jobs is going to get affected. It can't be that you'll take on 2-3 jobs and you will be doing justice to all those jobs. Take one thing, see how much you can manage, how much you can cope with. And if you aren't neglectful in the job, then you'll neglect some of your own rights. One person came here from London. Perhaps he must have been over 60. So he came to the masjid and he was performing namaz on the chair. I knew him a little bit. So I said, "Chacha, you're not too old. How come you're sitting on the chair?" So he says to me that this was my stupidity. So he went to London with about the first people to go. Late 50s we came to London. And we saw good money there. So we went all out and exerted ourselves to take 1-2 jobs. And holiday, we saw that salaries doubled, tripled. So we left the holiday and we kept on working. In the meanwhile, we've seen the white people that are working with us, they're taking one job, the holiday comes, they go to the neighboring warm countries, Spain, etc. All the time they've been in the cold, so the body requires some warmth. They go small holiday, 3 days, 2 days, 3 days, 2 days. They go there, take the warmth and come back. So they're fresh and the engines can last longer. Yeah, we thought we are clever coming from India, take 2-3 jobs, sacrifice the holidays, and we burnt, overworked the engine. Now, I'm 16, I have to sit on the chair, I can't walk freely. I'm dependent on someone else. So either you burn, you neglect the work that you are doing, or you hurt yourself. You damage the work that you are doing, or you damage yourself. One of the two is going to be damaged. That is with everything and anything. You hear, all right, this car was driven by one old white man, white woman. He used to only go to work and come back. And this is the selling price. Normally it goes for new one costs 70,000 and they're selling it for 55. So now it's a bargain, we take it. But by the same token, you hear now there was an Indian man that used to be doing hawking, you see, and he was driving this kaya and he wants 55,000. You're going to pay the price for it. Not going to pay. You know now, it's going to be overused. The same thing is going to be overused. So this body of ours, it's got its limitation. And at some point, we need to understand and accept that it's got a limitation. And if you work within that limit, then you'll get more usage of the body. Like in that motor car, you had better usage, more usage, when you worked within the limit. You overworked, and you burnt yourself, or you burnt that motor car, and you didn't derive and take the type of benefit that you really needed to take. Exactly the same applies to your body. Man will look after his car. You'll see a lot of people look after the car, mileage, and the service, and everything else. But when he sits on the dastarkhan, he sends it and says, no, rather eat and die. Rather, we eat and die. I must be starve and die. So you could apply the same thing on the motor car also. Either you hammer the motor car and finish it up. It's going to get finished up, isn't it? But now, conveniently, it applies only to the motor car. It doesn't apply to your body. So this philosophy that we use is not right. One person does one thing and he'll do it well. There is a thing like distribution of work, see. It's a different thing if, for example, there's nobody available, now and then nobody's available and you're overworking, it's alright. Right? Or examination time and you're overworking, alright, it's understood. Right? It is circumstances and you're overworking. Or there is some emergency and you're overworking. But that's a very, very rare event, right? So you overworked that period, maybe 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, you overworked. But it's on an ongoing way, it's ongoing, it's going on all the time. And you're asking for trouble. Emergency, like for example, some accident took place. You have to go and help out, or some janaza, you have to help out. To attend to your business, help out there, do this as well. If someone old, aged, they need your help and assistance, right? Or you came for some advice. So these are all now contingencies, some emergencies that you have to just amend and adjust yourself. But if you're going to go on, that's why the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah says that taqleel. I said taksir hua karta hai. When you do something moderately, then it's a means of doing it all the time, continuously and more. So you're doing it moderately, you can manage it. You went onto the josh now, you heard, hey, zikr must do. That person did zikr, and he saw this dream and he did this and this what happened to him. So he said, no, it could happen to him now, and this happened to me as well. So he went, tried. Whole night, two, three nights. Fourth night, he said, no, it's too much now. And all that zikr, you just left it out entirely. The namaz that you were doing, you left it out entirely. But if you started off on a slow pace, or like, I know I can't do it like the Sahaba Kiram, or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it at all. That will be laziness. If I leave it out entirely, that's laziness. And if I take a high jump or a long jump, I'll break my legs. So what's the in-between road? In-between road, let me do how much I can manage. Or they spend the whole night. Right? And that yet they were capable, they were fit the following morning. They had that stamina, so they could do it. Right? Now, if I say that I can't do it, now I will be lazy, I will be not aspiring that I, in the way I need to aspire. And if I say, alright, I'll do how much I can manage. Right? Whole night is a bit difficult for me. Let me spend at least about 20 minutes. 15 minutes, alright. Not even 20 minutes, let me spend 15 minutes. Or 5 minutes. As a start, let me start with 5 minutes is manageable. Only 5 minutes, let me carry on. After that I can sleep. So if it's 5 minutes, then you know it's manageable, and you will continue. Now and then you might make it even more. Right? You have a habit to stand up or to do something for 5 minutes. Right? So in between, there's some big nights coming, some auspicious occasion is coming, so you will stand up the entire night. But as a habit, you will do it for 5 minutes. So there will be life, there will be continuity. See, what is our problem? Part of our problem is we see some life of some pious person, or we read one incident in isolation, and then quickly we want to imitate. Right? Not understanding our capacity, our strength, we want to imitate straight. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to relate this incident of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Quite popular, most of us may have heard of it sometime or the other. He couldn't get up for tahajjud one night, and the following morning he cried, whole day he cried. So that night again he was about to oversleep, and someone got him up, asked, who are you? No, I just came to get you up, you're missing out, and what, who are you? It's alright, you got up for namaz now. But who are you? No, I am Mr. Shaitan. But then why did you have to get me up? I said, no, yesterday when you couldn't get up, you cried so much that you not only recompensed, but your sawab has multiplied, doubled and tripled, I don't know how many times it went up. So I thought to myself, rather than this man here doubling and tripling his sawab, we'll just get one sawab. Just get the tahajjud sawab, end of the story. I will cry again, I don't know where the martaba will go. So the easier thing and the cheaper bargain is for him to get up for the tahajjud, perform the namaz, and continue with his life. Now we hear the story of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, right? Then he said, we didn't get up for tahajjud, now you're crying. Only you're mourning and crying. Now you need to understand that you're not Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, you don't have that stamina. You don't have that type of strength. Firstly, in that zamana, everything was being done manually. Jumping on the horse, getting off, walking, coming. Okay? Like you see the old ladies, right? At that time, there were no machines and all that. Like how we have machines now. Now, 10 things they can do in 10 minutes. Just press this button, that button. And then, at that time, they had to use their hands. Make that mince and chemo. They have to use it. Right, they have to crush that badam or something. They have got that dasto, hawan dasto. They're crushing, so they're using themselves. Right, and now they're not using themselves. Like they're not using themselves, we also not using ourselves. Before you have to do all that work yourself. Now computer, all right, instructing the computer, do this, send this paper here, send this paper here, this message, this side, this. Right, even the blacks that are working for us now, they're not as hardy as they used to be. how they got the forklift before. You should see them carrying that sugar, mealy meal, maize and all that. 100 pounds, 50 kilos, 60 kilos, even 180 pounds, it's about 90 kilos. They managed to carry it comfortably. They would carry it from the truck and load it up nicely. Now they can't do all these things here. Now they've got the forklift and everything is being done. Right. So one is that the stamina and the physique of these people was far greater than our physique, our strength and our stamina. Right. Then the type of food they ate also was coarse, very coarse food. So they were healthier. They could take it. This is how they were grown up. This is the type of life they had to lead. They had no other option. They're going for Hajj, they have to use a horse or a donkey or a camel. يَأْتِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيدٍ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرِ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيدٍ. Coming on thin camels, because of Safar now they became thin, lean, right? Coming from deep mountain passes, they're coming right to Hajj. There was no choice. There wasn't any type of aeroplane or motor car. You know, an old man is a king, and he must go by plane. There wasn't anything like that, wasn't. Whether you're a king or a pauper, but you had to go through that difficulty. So overall, you were strong. Right? You were strong, energetic, and you had to do it. There's no other option. Man or woman, you had to do it. Right? So now, on the one end, these people were energetic and strong, and on the other end, they depended on their natural capabilities. Right? They depended on their memories, natural capabilities, they depended on that. Like they have systems, they didn't have the telephone, all wasn't a common thing. So they're communicating. So you'll find one auntie is calling another auntie from one mountain on the other mountain, and they're shouting. 2 kilometers the voice can reach. Comfortably they're having a chat, communication 2 kilometers. Right? They could do all these things. So the natural capabilities they were using, they were strong, they were energetic, and they were using themselves naturally, so they could do all these things. So if Muawiyah cried that entire night, then he had that stamina, he had that power. And do you have that power? Similarly, now you see that these people in the past, someone got married 2, 3, 4 wives, right? Now they can't do it. Most people don't have that energy, they don't have that strength. In the words of Mawlana Umarji Rahmatullahi, and those that tried to get second, third marriage, right, they died very quickly also. Because it's an exertion. So much of power you have to exert. Right, and you don't have that type of stamina. When you don't have that type of stamina, you're exerting yourself, you get a heart fail, and you die, finish. Understand? So you need to understand where you're coming from, your stamina. You need to understand what you are, how much you can take, how much you can manage, and you work accordingly. Now you don't take cognizance of this and just start moving, then it's not right. See? People, where it suits them, then you say, oh, tawakkul. It's got an old car, scrap car, not working right, it's got engine problems, brake problems, going out in Jamaat from here to Cape Town. Tawakkul. Yeah? That's not right. If you have that level of tawakkul, then it's a different thing. But you don't have that tawakkul level, and when it suits you, then you say tawakkul. Then this is not right. Yeah? You hear of people have that level of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have that yaqeen. Come what may, they can take it in the stride. If they do it, it's alright. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she received some gift and some beggar came and she gave the whole thing out. And she's fasting. Yes, there's no food in the house. There was something in the house, some beggar came and the whole thing is given out to that beggar. So she had that type of yaqeen, so she won't complain as well. But if you don't have that yaqeen, then you can't go and imitate Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And she had this type of yaqeen and tawakkul from her childhood. If you look at her life, she had this from her childhood. Her grandfather is Abu Quhafa. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has made hijrat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina Munawwara. And the grandfather comes in, he is blind, so he comes in and he asks about the welfare of the children, of his grandchildren. So your father left anything for you all? So yeah, he left. What he left? He left some money. So she put some stones on a table or whatever, and over it she put a cloth. So now just feel here, there is something here. No, then it's alright. That was an ideal time for her Aisha to complain, okay, we haven't got anything to eat, can't you help us out, what are we going to do? But she had that level of yaqeen and trust in Allah Ta'ala. So for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it was permissible for him to leave them in that state because they were content. And for Aisha radiallahu anhu, it was also permissible because she didn't complain after that. Right. So we need to understand where we are, where we're coming from, how much we can manage, and we take life accordingly. In that thing, we take it in that stride. We'll have some Buzurgan ad-Din that understood and realized their weakness. One Buzurg, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, jo kuch rozi deni hai, mujhe nakat de dijiye. Allah Ta'ala, whatever rozi you have to provide for me, decree for me, give it to me, cash. So, Khuda ki taraf se peygham aya, kya hamare rozi dene ke upar ehtimad nahi, bharosa nahi. Don't you have trust in us that we will provide for you? So, ya Allah, bharosa to hai. Lekin jab tahajjud ke liye uthta hoon, when I get up for tahajjud, then shaitan aakar ke koosta hai. Shaitan comes and teases me. He harasses me. Ke khane ke liye kya intizam karega? What arrangements will you make for your food? Nashta ka intizam kya karega? What you'll do for your lunch? What you'll do for your family? So shaitan comes and troubles me and harasses me. So if you give me my rozi in advance, I'll leave it one place. Shaitan comes to harass me. So I say, no, this is it. I'll eat from here. So for the peace of his mind, he asked Allah Ta'ala for this type of ease. So this Buzurg understood himself that he is weak. When he is weak, then he needs something for the comfort of his heart, for the comfort of his mind. That is why you'll find our Buzurgan ad-Din, when a person is thinking of coming towards Deen, you know, then they go with him smoothly and calmly. They are not too hasty with him. The other one is coming out now. He came out in Jamaat, or he came to the Madrasa, he's new. Right? He just is finding his feet now. And in the meanwhile, he's working at a bank. Haram, right? Interest. Now they will not tell him to give up the job immediately. What they will do is, you do three things. One is, you look for a substitute, halal substitute. Right? This is haram. So you look for a substitute that is halal. Number two, you consider this to be haram. It's not permissible, you consider it to be not permissible. Number three, is also make a little bit of istighfar for your weakness. Now, if you look at this advice in isolation, that Buzurg told him, well, remain working in the bank. Just make istighfar and remain working in the bank, then it's not fair of you to quote this in isolation. It's not be fair. Right? Our ulama, why will they advise in this way? They will advise in this way because they are looking at it in a far term, in a long term. This person needs a little bit of a backing. He needs a little bit of a cushion. if he's got his cushion, then his iman is safe. And if he doesn't have a cushion, then just now he will entertain doubts about his iman, just now. You give him a few days and you'll see he'll be entertaining doubts in his iman. Islam is so difficult. I can't make a proper living. So I came now, shatri, namaz and all that. Now they're telling me I can't even work. I was better off that side, na'uzubillah. When I wasn't coming for namaz, I was better off. At least my wife and children had something to eat. Now I start performing namaz and all that. So they say to me, I can't do anything. I can't work in this bank and what have you. So what must I do? What must I do for my wife and my children? I made a mistake, na'uzubillah. I shouldn't have come to the masjid. I shouldn't have come towards Islam. See that? So for these people, they need that type of cushion. They need that protection for their faith. So if they got something, their faith will be secure, will be guarded. If they have got nothing, then they'll have their mind stormed with hundreds of doubts about iman, about the Islam, everything they'll be doubting. It's very easy for them then to hop to that same life that they were leading. So this is that advice that they will give to this person, that you will just carry on and you come gradually. And you build up that iman, that yaqeen, etc. And you find a substitute, a replacement, now go to the job. But in the meanwhile, consider this to be wrong. And ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And ask Him also to assist you in finding a halal job. So this type of person, if you quote that hadith to him, كُلُّ لَحْمٍ نَبَتَ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ, the flesh that is grown, nourished with haram, then the fire is more deserving of that flesh. Right? You're only going to quote this hadith to him. Obviously now, he'll feel now there's no room for me. How must I move? How must I go on? Person is not performing namaz. Now there are situations, these jamaats come from South America and all these places, these new areas that they're going in. So they put that person, they tell him, alright, not even doing Jummah namaz. So they tell him, alright, what time you come home? Come home this time, alright. Just lead Isha namaz only. Start off with this. Now if you quote that Jamaat person, the Jamaat told him only read one namaz a day. He's got authority. He's overriding the authority of Allah Ta'ala. From five namaz, he's putting him to one namaz. They're teaching kufr, disbelief. So that will be wrong. They looked at the circumstance, and in that circumstance, said, alright, in your circumstance, at least start off with one. You're not doing nothing. You're not doing anything. Start off with one. Right? You start off with one, and then you can progress gradually. As you go on, you can progress. One villager, he took bayat at the hands of Al-Mu'ad Gangway Sahib Rahmatullahi. When we speak about Muhammad Gumir, we must understand his personality. See, his personality was such that everybody took him as the criteria. Whatever he did was like the criteria. Any alim, from this point till Hazrat Thani Sahib Ramdas Samana, everybody considered Hazrat Gumir Ramdas as the criteria. He's the basis. See, so one villager came up to him. And he says, I want to take bayat at your hands. So I said, alright, accept you for bayat. So he tells Maulana, okay, lekin main to ganj pitao, ganja, main to banj, see, main to banj pitao, I take ganja. Tu ne to banj ko kaha nahi? You didn't even speak about it? See, now this villager, now they speak to that. میں تو بنج پیتا ہوں اور تو نے اس کے متعلق کچھ کہا نہیں. You didn't even talk about it. That is the style of this villages. They speak like that. You mustn't count that as them being disrespectful. They speak like that. Right? So he says, Mona says, لیکن تو نے پوچھا نہیں. So this villager said, لیکن تجھے کہنا چاہیے. You must ask. Why didn't you ask? See how they speak. One knows now this is a a class of their own, you see. So how you have to take with them? I have to work with them. So I asked him, all right, how much do you take? How much do you take? So he showed his hand. I take so much every day. Dakha. What do you call it? Marijuana. Marijuana, you take so much. All right, taking so much, then take so much only. Showed him half or three quarter. Take so much. All those now you have to bring him slowly. Now if you take this insulin in isolation and you'll say, Mullah told him must take ganja. Shan. So ye sab ilm ki kachche pane ki alamat hai. See that ilm is not soaked in you. That ilm is not matured in you. When it's not matured, then you'll quote something out of context. Quote things out of context. It is very important that you understand the context, siyak, sabak. Around the 1930s, 40s, there were some movements, you know, that around the 30s. While Tamil Nadu was in Kanpur, he was still teaching there. And there were some of these Hindu Arya movements, they're propagating their ways and their religion, all that. Mona went with a group of ulama and they heard that this village is going to turn to Hinduism. So they went to speak to the Chaudhary. Normally, when you go into a village, then you first contact the Chaudhary, like how here by us. When you're going into a gram, you go and speak to the Induna. The Induna gives you the green light, then you carry on. Work becomes much more simplified, you see. So Mawla went to the class with a whole group of ulama, and they went from one gam to the other gam, and the third gam, and the fourth gam. So they go to this gam here, and they ask him, that we hear that you're going to turn to Hinduism. So the Chaudhary says, na Mawla, hum to bilkul Hindu ho nahi sakte. Kaise? How? So, hum to tajia nikalte hai. Hum to tajia nikalte hai. We take out this tajia. So Mona told him, khub tajia nikalte raho. Tajia, you must keep taking out. Now will you say how Mona had approved of the taking out and the bring out of tajia? Will you say that? Look at the context. This was the context that Mona told him. And the reason why Mawla told him is the whole imam was suspended on the tazia. See, that he was balancing on the tazia. Now, if you cut the tazia out of the lives, what have they left? There was nothing left, absolutely nothing. So that's why I say it's important for maturity in ilm. Ilm and maturity in ilm. And when there's maturity in ilm, then you can understand things in context, you can understand a people, you can understand a community, and you know the way to take them forward, you know how to work with them, how to talk to them, how to relate to them, and how to take them forward, how to guide them. And if you don't understand context, you don't understand people, then you'll make more problems and you'll put them into more confusion, right? You'll create confusion for them, you'll create problems for them. Just now, up till this point, they were listening to something from one alim. All their lives they heard one thing. And suddenly you just come up and tell them something else. Now their minds cannot digest it. So you have to guide them, you have to correct them. But you need to understand how to correct them. There's no two ways that you shouldn't be guiding them. You shouldn't be taking them on the right path. There's no two ways about it. But you have to think now, you have to learn and understand. Up till now, this man was the king. He was the kingpin, he was the chief of the area. And they were relating to him, everything. So you got two problems. This person that was like the kingpin there, he is threatened of his position. His territory is being threatened, number one. Number two, these people, they only see him. In their lives, they see him to be the leader, to be everything else. He's the leader. All the years, for the generations, 30, 40, 50 years, they've been seeing him or his father, that was the imam. that was the leader. They've been used to him, or they've been used to his imam, his father. Now suddenly you come and say this is haram, is not permissible. They can't understand it. Their minds can't digest it. Now you have to show it to them that it's haram, but how do you bring it to their attention? How do you bring it to their attention? That's the way. That's how you need to understand. Without upsetting things, without causing problems, you have to bring it to their attention. See. So Imam Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh asked this person here, how much do you take? So much of ganja I'm taking every day. Or take half of it or three quarter of it. So now Murad is making dua inside, you know. And this person goes out of the khanqah and he takes that ganja that he had already in his pocket, even and threw it, dumped it. Ye kya ke aadha aadha karke khatam kar do, khatam karna hai to abhi khatam kar de. What is it now? Decrease it gradually and abandon the idea. Need to finish it up, abandon the idea immediately. He been taking the stuff for years, 30-40 years he been taking it. And now it's deep in his system. Now for him to give it up, it's not an easy thing. I know one person comes here. So he been taking some stuff, you see. So I told him also, right? So he gave it up immediately. I don't know, for about almost 1 month he couldn't sleep. 1 month he couldn't sleep. He had a heavy backache, whole body's paining, limb, lame. After a month or 2 months then he came right. But at that point I was getting afraid, okay, what have I asked him to do? So when it's deep in a person's system, then if he takes it out, he leaves it out immediately, right, then there can be an adverse effect on the person's health, you see. But anyway, the person left it out, now he left it out. Yeah, he is saying, he became seriously ill. When he became seriously ill, or then he recovered from that illness. Now, after a month or 2 months, I was examining his budget and he's seeing his pocket. See, I got 10 rupees more. 10 rupees at that time, you're talking about 120 years ago, right? So 10 rupees at that time is big money. See, I got 10 rupees, what I can do now? Have this mitai, that, whatever. You know, I can have a ball of a time. But now look at his dihati ke faham aur samajh ko dekho. Look at his understanding. When they are sincere, when you are sincere, then Allah Ta'ala grants you that understanding. Your understanding, your reasoning ability also increases. But that is provided you are sincere. Some of these dihadis are intelligent, you see. They're intelligent, they can't reason correctly. Umarji Sahib Rahmatullahi was explaining one story. It was the break time and the lawyers were discussing, or they were having some meal, their meals, lunch and all that, and enjoying themselves, etc. And one lawyer was showing one photograph, you see. So one villager walked past there. So he says, what is this? It's not none of your business, but what it is, what is it? So now he got a son, so he took a photograph, so he's just showing, passing it around the friends. So the villager saw the photograph and he says, this person can never be a successful lawyer. This child can never be a successful lawyer. How do you come to that conclusion? He says, this child, I see, his hands are in his pockets. And all lawyers' hands are in other people's pockets. So how can he ever be a successful person? So these villagers are quite smart, these people. You mustn't underestimate them. Many of them are quite smart. So after some time, 2 months, he got that 10 rupees. And he's telling himself, you know what? I'm going to have a good time now. See, 10 rupees that have gone in this ganja, in this bad service, in this habit, I saved all this money, so I need to have a feast, enjoy myself. Then he says, no, I can't do that. You have to appear nafs parasti here. This is following my nafs. This money must go to the Peer Sahib, because he guided me to this path. He led me on. When he led me on, then the right thing is to give it to him, not to have any share of this. Otherwise, he will amount to nafs. See these people now, how the understanding, how the reasoning, how profound, clear, how fair they are in their thinking, in their reasoning, analysis. So what I'm getting at here is today, the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, is we need to lead people away min az-zulumati ila an-nur, from the depthness, from the depths of darkness, of evil and wrong, to the light of iman, a'mal and the sunnah. But we need to do it in a way that people like to come that way. They don't do it grudgingly. They would like to do it. They see the wrong and they see the evil and they see the light on the other end. You show it to them in that way and they will accept. They will respond. So where we started off today's talk is when Rasulullah used to receive the wahi, then there was istima, total attention, as though he was cut off this material world, and his mind and his heart was linked up to the spiritual world, the malaika, listening to them. His mind was totally dissociated. See, ilm has got that quality, that la yu'tika juz'uha hatta tu'tiyaha kullaka. It won't give you a small fraction. It won't give you a small fraction until you don't absorb and immerse yourself into it. Abu Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi used to get so immersed in work, writing or is reading a kitab, that he won't even know who's coming and who's going. He's so deeply involved in that kitab. The Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, many a times it used to happen that he is looking into a kitab for some masla, whatever it is, and he starts off from after Isha, and he only comes to know that now it's Fajr time and the Fajr Azan is going. He is so deeply immersed inside the kitab, he doesn't know what's happening. Time he doesn't know. Sometimes it used to happen that he's immersed in the kitab and one meal or two meals are skipped. And when he finds that weakness, oh, I didn't eat. After the two meals, he realized I didn't have breakfast, I didn't have lunch. Right? Does he realize that I didn't have two meals and that is why I'm feeling weak? But now, that is the type of absorption. See, like how you sleep. You sleep and you don't know what's happening. Right? Otherwise, you don't call it a sleep. Right? This Muhaddis Ahmad Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi, you know, the Sharaf, Bukhari Sharif, he's Sharaf. So he was in the inn, you see. The inn, you have different type of rooms. One room is one type of hall, everybody is sharing that one hall. You're sitting one corner. He was a very witty person, very, very witty person he was. So one person wanted to play the fool with him. And he says, I got a dawat at your place. I got a dawat at my place for you, you see. So he takes him. And in India, you'll find that in the entrance of the house, there is a curtain that is suspended. So quickly he does as though he went behind the curtain and says, all right, come inside. So he ushered him, so he lifted the veil and he came in. And this person that ushered Maulana in, he sneaked out of the house. Now, in that house, as Muawiyah went inside, he took a turn, the husband and wife were sitting and having meals, and they were a little bit open. So the husband got upset, angered. Kaun makan mein ghuse aaya karte hai? So Muawiyah knew now this person played a trick on him. So he had to play it as though he's blind. Arey zara mujhe wo lota de do. Give me the lota, I want to make wuzu. So that person felt sorry for him. Nabina sahab hai, he's looking for the masjid. Someone brought him here. So, you know, acha masjid ka rasta aapko bata do. So he's at the inn here, and there is one person that is interfering with one of these dirty women. You know, this dirty woman, so he's interfering, and they're getting into intimacy, you see. So Muawiyah doesn't want them to do it. Now he played like he's snoring, you see. So that dirty woman, she made out that Muawiyah is not fully asleep, you see. See, yahan zara dekhte bhi hai ki kaun hote hai. So this man is asking ki tum jagte ho ya sote ho? Nahi, main so raha hu. तो सोते हो तो कैसे बोलते हो? नहीं, वैसे सोते बड़बड़ा रहा हूं, सोते ही बड़बड़ा रहा हूं. So this total absorption, you see, in work, your mind must be totally absorbed. Then you will find that enjoyment of ilm comes in. And apart from the enjoyment, the maturity comes in. You understand now how to apply that ilm, where to apply it, how to apply it. You will apply it correctly, and people will receive it also correctly. They will also appreciate it. Otherwise, you won't know how to apply it, and they will not appreciate it. Both sides will have problems. See, what happens is, we acquire ilm, right? And then we want an exposure for that ilm. The only exposure we have is a Jummah, 20 minutes. And the 95% of the crowd that comes on a Jummah only sees the masjid on a Jummah. Now deep ilmi tahqiq you're giving them on a Jummah platform, 20 minutes. Can they appreciate that? They can't appreciate that. That's far beyond them. There may be that 5% that used to you, they will understand. But the 95%, they don't know what you're talking about. Whether they're coming or going, they don't know. So this hadith is fabricated, muzu, and you're quoting it. People are quoting it. What's supposed to be quoting? What are you talking about? We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what is fabrication. We don't know how can a hadith be fabricated. They don't know anything. Right? But you are talking at that level, and it's just flying past them. So there needs to be total absorption in acquiring that ilm. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. The Jamaat people say it very well. They say it, اگر ہم نے سننے کے حق کو پورا کر لیا, if we heard and listened in the manner that we supposed to be listening, in the manner that we ought to listen, we heard attentively and our minds were there, اللہ تعالیٰ سمجھنے اور عمل کرنے کی بھی توفیق نصیب کریں گے. If you heard attentively, correctly, properly, Allah Ta'ala will grant you that توفیق to understand and to practice. But آپ سننے کے حق کو پورا کر لیں. The right, the duty of, the obligation of listening, you fulfill that. فَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. When you listen to the Quran Sharif, when the Quran Sharif is being recited, then listen attentively. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. So this is the first right and the first duty towards ilm. Istima. أَوَّلُ الْعِلْمِ الْإِسْتِمَاء ثُمَّ الْإِنْصَاتِ. Then there is total calmness. Quiet and you're totally calm. You're attentive, listening to it all, you know, fully. Full attention. Your mind is not diverted, see? Not on anything else. It's totally attentive. When you are totally attentive, then that thing is seeping into your heart. It's getting into your heart. But that comes in this manner. Now, you are listening to that ilm, and you also listening to something else. For example, now you're listening to the ustad, and there's a conversation going between two children in the class, right? So you're listening to the ustad also, and you're eager and curious to know that conversation also. Will you have fulfilled the right of listening? Yeah, and fulfilled the right of listening. Now then you come and complain to the ustad that I didn't understand. Yeah, the reason for your understanding is there was not full concentration. Had there been full concentration, full attention, then you would have enjoyed it, you would have understood it. But there wasn't that. You missed that out, so you missed out the lesson. That is why you'll find that these muhaddiseen, there were two types of the muhaddiseen, you see. One was that muhaddis who heard and acquired the hadith from his teacher directly. So his reports are very authentic and reliable because he heard it from his ustad, from his teacher directly. So if there was anything that was unclear, then he cleared it up straight away from the ustad. He's taking a few hadiths and he's absorbing it well, he's understanding it, he knows the application, understand it fully, right? And the other muhaddis was that muhaddis who did not acquire it directly from his teacher. His teacher may have given him his kitab and told him, alright, you take it from here, you copy the notes. Now he's copied the notes, and in the understanding he may have faltered. See, like the hadith says, quoted a hadith there, that person is a fortunate person who doesn't have a lot of wealth. He's not very popular, people don't know him so much, right? And summa naqada, and then Rasulullah tossed a coin. That the word tossed a coin. And then hadith goes on to say, وَقَلَّتْ بَوَاكِهِ. After that, people that mourned over him was less. Few people were mourning over him. Understand? So now this tossing of the coin, how does it fit into this hadith? Understand? He doesn't have a lot of wealth. He doesn't have a lot of wealth. And he's not very popular, people don't know him. And then he tossed a coin, and few people mourned over him. So how does it fit into this hadith? Now if you haven't been acquiring it from ustad directly, then you don't know what this refers to. Now in the olden days, a businessman would toss a coin, see, to see whether that is alloy, or to see it is genuine silver or gold. He'll have to toss it. And he hears the sound, from the sound he makes out it's genuine or it's alloy. So this is also a type of figurative language. When you see he tossed a coin, in other words the man passed away. But this is how it was expressed, you know, an idiomatic expression. He tossed a coin, in other words he passed on, died, see. So now if you had heard it directly from the ustad, you will know exact application, how it applies, what it refers to. If you haven't heard it directly from the ustad, you don't know what he's talking about. Some hadith there is وَأَقَدَ ثَلَاثِينَ. Rasulullah Pasam, with the signs of his finger, he showed 30. Right? So in the Arabic, when you make a particular sign, for example like this, this will refer to 30, 40, 50. You know, you show this, or you show this, or you show this, right? So it will refer to a particular figure. It symbolizes some figure, right? Now if you know those symbols, then you know what he's talking about. And if you don't know those symbols, then you don't know what he's talking about. So ilm, innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. Knowledge comes when you acquire it gradually. Under the tutorship of an ustad, of a teacher, you take it gradually, you understand it, you digest it, and you know the application. But if it is self-studies, you acquire it yourself, you are bound to make mistakes. There's going to be problems in the interpretation, there's going to be problems in your application, you're not going to understand fully, you're not going to comprehend it entirely and completely. See, ilm is also, ilm, you compare ilm to food. See, a growing child you will administer slow food to him, but gradually. First milk, then a little bit of solids, then some more hard things, then you'll give him tarkari, some hot stuffs and all that. Gradually you'll monitor the food. But from the day that he's born, you give him chilies and achar, what's going to happen? You're going to destroy the child. He doesn't have that ability. So same with ilm. People can't digest ilm straight away. You have to give them small things gradually, prepare their minds. Now they have developed, their minds have developed, now you give them something higher. And as their minds are developing and you're giving it to them, now they appreciate it, they apply it correctly, and there is less confusion. But you give them one shot, then it's like that 1 year old child or 1 day old child, and you're giving him achar and chops, and you give him steaks, and ask the child to eat, or stuffing it into the child's mouth. What's going to happen? There's going to be indigestion. You're going to be destroying the child. Another thing.